Let's talk a little about your large ensemble now, because that's not normally the kind of project that you would wake up on Tuesday morning and say, ah, let's put 19 pieces together. So how did that happen?
Well, the thing is this, the concept is a concept that I created, again, hearing certain influences. And these influences were supposed to bring whatever the most modern instruments there are out there with the oldest ancient instruments that we have in Puerto Rico. And that's part of the concept. It's not all of it, but it's part of it. It's a great part of it, let's say. So in order for me to do that, first of all, I have to keep, and you saw that on the concert, that we have to keep, first of all, everything that is Afro-percussion from Puerto Rico. That's one too many instruments right there already. So now we got to get to the part of, since we already accomplished that, now we got to get to the part of, okay, so where's the modern instruments? Okay, well, I need certain instruments to complement. And when the whole thing came out, because of the sound of bomba, because of the cuero de chivo, which is not cuero de vaca, the sound that it produces and everything, I have to complement it with certain instruments that were not duplicating the same frequencies that I already had in the traditional instruments. So in order for me to do that, it was a little bit challenging, although I knew exactly where I was going since the beginning. And the challenge was this, that in order for me to, I mean, Barriles de Bomba, if you put only two, which is all that you need for bomba, you don't need more than two. But if you put three or four, I mean, it gets even really challenging because you don't have a polyrhythm going on. There's a bass and then there's a, there's a repique, phrasing on top of that bass rhythm. So if you have four barriles or three barriles, you have three or four, two or three doing the same rhythm, and then the one, you know, doing a different thing, just the primo or subidor, which is the one that I play. So I say, well, that's too low. I mean, because these barriles are tuned low. You can tune them high, but then you're going to lose the traditional sound, which I do that too. I tweak the tunings so that they're a little bit more friendly to the miking, you know, and to make sure that each barril has a distinctive voice. So that was a challenge, because even if I make it, if I tune them differently, they are still going to do, the buleadores are still going to do the same rhythm, both of them, exactly the same rhythm. And the primo is the only one doing something different, which is all the repiques. So I said, okay, it's a low frequency sound. Boom, boom, ba-dum, boom, 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 you know? So I need high pitched stuff. I need colors. That's where for example, the rack comes in. The rack is none other thing than a glorified qua. You see, and I did it on purpose. I said, I want modern qua, but it needs to fit the mold of the traditional qua, you know? Now it needs to give me colors. So that's why I had to search for a colorist. I couldn't find it, so I had to make me one. So everybody goes through a process of being taught what bomba is, all the foundational knowledge and everything. I have to teach everything in the group before somebody can come in and jump in and actually know what it's doing. It's not only what's on the paper, but why are you doing it? You need to know, because then when your time comes, like for example, a trumpetist comes and they have to do a solo, they have to speak bomba. And then they got to know melodies from bomba. Also, just like any Afro-Cuban ensemble does, you know, they know their favorite rumbas, their favorite Ifa music songs or pataquines, or they know their favorite bolero or whatever, and they put it on the solo, you know, a little phrase on the solo of the trumpet, and then they go back to rhythmic patterns that are cohesive with the quinto or with whatever the soloing instrument is. So I noticed that on on all this, not only Afro-Cuban, but also all over Latin America. They do the same thing. Say, you know what? That's exactly where we should go, because that's exactly what we have anyway. We have somebody soloing and we have the bass rhythm. So that's what the trumpets need to be learning. So everybody needs to learn traditional bombas. Everybody needs to learn traditional plena. What is the golpe of the requinto? What is this punta clavo? What is claveteo on the requinto? All these rhythms they need to learn.
Are you finding there are any challenges of getting, say, just to pull something out of my hat, a jazz trumpeter in the bombo and then letting him cut loose on improvising again?
Yeah, I'm finding a lot of challenges with that. That's that, and I was saying something to that effect this past week to the ensemble, that I, you know, I just opened up my heart to my people. Where I try to keep it like a family, because mm-hmm. of the nature of the project. I'd rather do it like that, really. And I was telling them that I'd rather have the people that are paying the price to be here and learn what this music really is, just like any other country does, you know, on their path of evolution. They don't just play it because they want to play it and they got a gig, mm-hmm. but they actually know what cumbia is if they're playing mm-hmm. Evolve cumbia, you know, mm-hmm. or if they're playing Evolve Orichas music. You know, they know what it is. As a matter of fact, some of them are, if it comes to Oricha, for example, to Santeria, a lot of them are santeros, for God's sake. Trumpeters that are, so they do know, because they hear this on the toques. Mm-hmm. So when they come in there, they just don't, they know their jazz, because they study trumpet and they know, but they know how to insert one thing in the other. So I was telling everybody, I'd rather have people who pay the price that are to be here, learn it, than taking my papers with my arrangements. All these arrangements are mine. They're original arrangements of mine. And just get the big shot from whatever the city I go and say, okay, how much you want that? Okay, I got this guy with deep pockets. He can pay for you. So come in. I got a pianist. Then I got, no, because they got to bring these mañas of other stuff, not knowing the genre. Why? Because it's so obscure. That's my thing to do, to turn it into a non-obscure genre. Because right now, as we speak, it's still obscure. You know, here's the thing to bomba en plena. People know the name bomba en plena. You see, the name bomba en plena is more popular than the actual nuances of the genre. Because then, oh yeah, bomba en plena, yeah, what? And they go, boo, 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 boo. That's all you know? Yeah, okay, I got one for you. I got a really nice ride for you. Mm-hmm. So that's what that is.
Where do you hope to see Copper go next?
We really want, first of all, we want Capre to be able to record. What I think we can accomplish is actually the same thing that others have accomplished. There is a huge market for this kind of music, Afro derived African genre. African diaspora. Genres, if you will. There's a huge market, not only here in the Americas, but also in Europe. I mean, Germany's buying this like crazy. Italy's buying it too. It's all over the place. They're buying this. They don't even care if they're saying Obatala Chango or whatever, or if they're saying Empatilla Solo Fro. What is he saying? Yeah, they're playing bomb, but that's what they say they're playing. But I like it. They want to hear that ethnic drum being beat to death. And this trumpet, like doing these jazzy, slick things on top. And the drum set speaking the same language of the barriles. They want to hear that. Or the drum set speaking the same language of the bata. They want it. They like it. They appreciate it. What is the reason? I would tell you that I think is because they're very well educated in terms of art and music. That's only my educated guess, because I really do think that you need to be in order to appreciate that. For some reason, they buy it, they love it, they ask for it, it won't make any difference right now to these countries if they get this product, Afro-Cuban, Afro-Puerto Rican, Afro-Colombia. They don't care. They just know that it's an Afro-derived Criollo rendering in the Americas of something that was African, and they do it in a certain flavor, in a certain way. This clave driving it, and they love it. They love it. And I want to take Puerto Rican music to that level where it becomes international, and that's why we play world music. We turn it into world music. Our music, if you hear it, because of the singing drives everything in the arrangements. Because of the singing, which we still working to perfect and getting, you know, even better vocal arrangements and vocalists and stuff. Because of that singing, we get to give Bomba an opportunity to, even though people may not understand what we're saying, not just because of Spanish, because we're speaking also sometimes Creole that influenced Bomba. Sometimes we're speaking Congo and some Bombas. So we're giving Bomba and Plena, both of them, giving them an opportunity for people to hear that whatever they heard from somebody else, we have it too. It's a little bit different. Of course, it's Puerto Rican. It's not any other thing. It's Afro-Puerto Rican. And I would love to give that opportunity not only to Capri, but actually the way I see it, I want to give this opportunity to the genres, to Puerto Rico. I want Puerto Rico to our drums to be respected, just like timbas are respected all over the world. Everybody that has an ensemble of whatever they have, they got to have congas. That's what they think. How did they came to think that? Because Cubans were responsible cherishing their own stuff. If you don't cherish your own stuff first, nobody's going to care about it, because you, for starters, don't even care about it. Mm-hmm. So I am showing care for what it's ours, for our legacy, my family legacy, Puerto Rican's legacy. It's something that it's there up for grabs, and nobody has done anything about it. And I really want Capre and Bomba en Plena through Capre to become international, you know, international instruments such as the panderos to become international. Everybody needs to have a pandero. Why? I don't know. I just know that everybody's banging this, and this is the, you know, and this is the book that Emanuele just put out, and I know how to play it, and he has a video and audio in the book also, and this is how you play it. We gotta have it in this, but we're gonna play something. Don't matter. We gotta have it.